Shasha, the rabbi is here.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem, and how are you?
I am doing good.
Wonderful. So,
Parshat Shavua.
Yeah, this week's Torah portion is Parshat of Vayakhel, which many years, this Torah portion and next Torah portion, Vayakhel and Pkudei, go together. But this year it is separate. So we see in this Torah portion, Moses assembled the people of Israel and reiterates to them the commandments. He then conveys God's instructions regarding the making of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. The people donate the required materials in abundance, which are gold, silver, copper, blue, purple, the red dyed wool, gold hair, wood, olive oil, so on and so forth.
All the goodies.
I'm sorry?
All the goodies.
That's right. And Moses, you've ever heard of something that when an organization is asking for donations of whatever it is, that the person running the donation says, stop! We don't need it anymore. I haven't heard that in a long time. But Moses tells them to stop giving.
Yeah.
Because it was they were giving so much and they were giving so many. So
maybe because of the guilt feelings that they had from the last parsha with the card.
Yeah, well, that is one of the reasons why there was a lot of the gold that was given as repentance for the golden calf. So we see a few weeks ago in Parshat Terumah that we learned of God's instruction to Moshe to make the Mishkan, to make the tabernacle, and all of its vessels. And Moshe was told the various materials that would be necessary for the construction. As we just said, Moses in this week's Torah portion told the people what they needed to be able to build the Mishkan, and that's the privilege that they had in doing so. Now, the uniqueness of the Jewish people that we have is the Torah. Because God selected us from among all the nations, and we agreed in our seven Ishma that we would do God's will, and He gave the Torah to us exclusively, and the Aaron, the Ark, the Aaron, which housed the tablet, the Lukot, on which everything was written, was the central and most prominent feature. And as the sages in the Gemara say, and as Rashi explains, that when the Torah stated that the Aaron, should be made of acacia wood and covered with pure gold from within and without, in other words, the wood was going to be in the middle, it really means the following, that there's three receptacles were made. The primary one was of the acacia wood. A second larger box was made of gold into which the wooden box was placed. And then a third, a smaller one, was made of gold which was put inside the wooden one. So therefore, the middle wooden box was covered with gold inside and out. Now, considering that the Aron, the Ark, contained the Jewish people's most sacred treasure, it's therefore obviously everyone would want, it's most fitting that gold, the most precious metal then, and which is highly valued even today, should be used for the construction of the Ark. Makes a lot of sense. Why? Since gold represents the highest concept of value, it is associated with everything we hold most precious, and we can all understand that the making of the two golden boxes to house the tablets makes a lot of sense. But why the use of the wood in the construction of the ark? Wood is of no particular value. So if it has no particular value, is wood a fitting tribute to our most valued and cherished Torah? Should it just be made out of gold? What's their reason? And we know that everything that is written in the Torah, everything that God asked the Jews to do, everything that was made in the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Ark, there's a reason for it. So, an understanding of the nature of these substances, of the gold and the wood, would really help us to understand, because each of these materials has a particularly unique quality. Gold, for example, is durable and strong. Now, we know that time affects most substances. Metals corrode, they tarnish and they rust. Fabrics, you know, start to tear, start to fade, so on and so forth. Gold is a rare exception to this phenomenon, because it's durable and strong, and it resists time, and it resists also decay.
Yeah.
It was therefore proper that the ark, which was to house the Torah of God, should be made of gold to symbolize the enduring worth and truth and the eternal values it conveys to us. Because Torah is like gold. It's something that time, or as it goes on, conditions cannot ever change.
Yeah.
Therefore, King David in Psalm chapter 19, he says, when talking of the Torah, compares its teaching to gold. And he says they are more desirable than than even much fine gold. However, gold has one drawback. It's lifeless. It has no life to it. Wood has the advantage that it comes from a living thing. It grows, it has roots, it produces fruit, for example. The Torah, therefore, is compared not only to gold, but also to a tree. It is a tree of life to those who grasp it, as what it says in Proverbs. What gold lacks is provided by wood. And what wood lacks is provided by gold. So the durability of gold and the vibrancy and life of wood were merged in fashioning and making the ark. Eternity and life were forever to be the symbol of Torah. Eternity of the gold that is never decayed, nothing happens to it, and life of the wood are the symbols of Torah. Because the ark and the Torah within it are our most precious possessions. Symbols of eternal value for every single person. But eternity alone is not enough. Every generation must contribute and share to imbue new life to the Torah, to make our traditions grow and expand. And each individual must personally go from strength to strength in his Torah studies and observing of the mitzvot. And we cannot rest on what the past has given us. The Torah is eternity. It's zahav. It's gold. But it must also be eitz chayim, an eternity which lives. It has to be a life. Torah is a tree of life to those who hold on to its eternity and grow spiritually with it. So we have the durability of the gold, but that's nothing. It needs to have life in it. And that's where the wood comes in. So we have the Torah. The Torah is never going to change. But what's going to imbue, what's going to put the life into us and into the Torah is by us studying it, by us following it, by us learning it. And by doing that, we are now bringing together the eternal aspect of life, which is forever, going to be spiritual, and the physical aspect of our lives, which is what are we going to do today to change, to enhance, and to bring life, not only to ourselves, but to the whole world. And that's something that I thought was so interesting. A message that we can learn in our lives from this week's Torah portion of Vayakhel. We have now, obviously, leading up to Purim, which is in a few weeks. Everyone loves Purim. Adults love Purim. Kids love Purim. Beautiful holiday. Beautiful celebration. So we start off the three events happening in regards to Purim. Three events that are happening at Chabad of Windsor. Number one, we have this Sunday, we have Kids in the Kitchen, where kids are going to bake their own hamantash, They're going to discover the unique pride of biting into the fruit of their labor, which is they're going to learn about the baking of the hamantash, and they're going to make their own hamantash. They're going to be able to fill it with an array of fillings and toppings. They're going to be able to have their creativity come out, and they're going to be able to design it however they wish. They're also going to learn about Purim as well. That's happening Sunday, March 3rd at 3 o'clock at Chabad, which is 1506 Victoria Avenue. Please RSVP so we can have an accurate number of kids. We have a beautiful amount of kids that have already RSVP'd. So you can either email windsorrabbi@gmail.com. It's $5 a child. We then go on, that's this Sunday, we then go on to Wednesday, March 6th. We have a Jewish woman circle, a Jewish woman hamantash is baked, where the women are going to come together and learn the traditional meanings behind these pastries, as well as design their own hamantash, fill it, top it. It's going to be amazing. That's at 7:30 p.m. at Chabad as well. And you can RSVP riftagalpern@yahoo.com. And that's $10 an individual person. And then we have the climax, the finale of Purim, is where we have the Purim in the Palace, which is going to be our 10th annual community Purim party and dinner.
And that's where we read the Megillah.
That's right. We're going to read the Megillah, which is going to take place Thursday, March 21st. Megillah reading is at 5 o'clock. 5:30, we're going to have a huge royal dinner with amazing food. And then entertainment, which is going to be held at the JCC in the gymnasium. We just secured an amazing magician and illusionist, the amazing Carbon, is what his name is. There's going to be Megillah reading, music, entertainment, Purim crafts for the kids. Anyone that comes dressed up, any kid that comes dressed up in any costume is going to get a prize. And that is going to be March 21st. $20 an adult. Kids 12 and under are free. Please RSVP so we can make sure we set up the correct and have enough food for everyone. You can go into our website, windsorchabad.com, RSVP there, pay up by your credit card, so when you come to the door, you don't have to worry about it. You can come without even a wallet. So those are what's going on. So it's going to be an amazing few weeks leading up to Purim.
We are waiting forward.
Ilan, I look forward to speaking next week.
Same here. And, I just wanted to ask you about the services this weekend.
This Friday evening, we have Friday evening service at 6 o'clock. Shabbat morning is at 9:30. Sunday morning is at 8:30, followed by breakfast. And Monday and Thursday, 7:15, start the day off right. You're in the office at 8 o'clock. An amazing way to start off your day.
Sounds good. I wish you Shabbat Shalom and great weekend, and we'll talk next week.
Yes, looking forward. We'll talk. Be well.
Thank you. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.